America Weekend. Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki. My next guest is back for her second visit to the show. She is the star and co-writer of MacReady, a powerful new musical based on the life of the late country singer Mindy MacReady. It is great to say hello once again to Jennifer Blake. Jen, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
It is terrific to have you on. It is very exciting. You are here in New York City. So even though you're on the phone, we're much closer than we were the last time you were here.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Yeah.
Much closer, yeah.
Exactly. All right. Now, MacReady is about to take that stage here in New York. How exciting is that?
Oh my gosh, so exciting. I'm sitting in the cafe across the street from the theater, getting ready to go to rehearsal later. We have an audience tomorrow night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right, now, you already said you're in the cafe, so it begs the question, what are you eating before rehearsal?
I had turkey bacon and egg whites on a multigrain and an iced tea.
Very nice. That's so New York, you know? It's so cosmopolitan. Yeah. No ham and cheese for you. That's good
to
know.
No.
All right. So for those that didn't hear our first interview, tell us again about Mindy MacReady and why you became so attracted to her story.
Oh, man. Well, first of all, I noticed the similarities. I'll start with that.
Okay.
I'm from a small town in Alabama, in Montgomery, Alabama. I grew up singing in the church. She grew up singing in the church. She's from a small town in Florida, Fort Myers, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
She was, a few years older than me, but she always was very ambitious, and I'm very ambitious, and I've always been real focused, and, she started out funny focused, and, and just having a big voice. So those similarities right there were enough for me to look deeper into her life and, her story and what all went down.
Now, you're the co-writer of the of the musical as well. How difficult is it to fit everything you want into the script, into the story? How difficult is it to take things out? How conflicted are you when you're trying to put the whole thing together?
So conflicted. And you can feel kind of overwhelmed, right? Because she passed away when she was 37. So you're looking at it as 37 years of a life. I mean, that's a lot to kind of, melt down into, an hour and 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm much more in favor on the side of an intermission-free show where you just kind of in and out. I mean, everybody's attention span is shorter as it is, but I think that it's really powerful if you can do a story like that. But, any kind of biopics, if you think of like Ray Charles, Ray, Walk the Line. I love Walk the Line.
Me too.
You kind of go, how the heck did they do that? Like, how did they pick these moments from Ray's life or Johnny Cash's life? And it was a similar thing. So sometimes I would go back and reference in my mind Walk the Line just to go, well, how did they choose that? Why was that particular moment in their life meant to be part of the story that we're telling?
Now, in terms of performing the role, now, since you co-wrote much of the material, does it make it easier for you as an actor, as a performer, to understand the script and the material rather than trying to figure out and nuance what somebody else created?
That's a good question. I don't know how to compare whether it's easier. I can say it is easier because of all the research I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rest of the cast, the other actors, came to it without really any information about her at all. They were country music fans, but they're younger, like 23. We have a 23-year-old, 25, 32-year-old, so for 1991, 1993, they were not aware of who Mindy MacReady was at the time, but they were babies, no.
In terms of paring the story down to a musical, we talked before about how, you'll watch Walk the Line and think, why are these moments so seminal? I mean, why are these pivot points in somebody's story? This is essentially more of a musical at heart. So how difficult is that really to kind of blend those elements together as you're trying to get the story across as well?
Yeah, that's a really good question, too, because you want it to feel natural.
Sure.
You want it to feel organic and not, no, I'm going to step on this and sing flat to the audience.
Yeah.
I feel like there was only one or two songs max that it felt like, how are we going to incorporate this in a natural way. The other ones lend themselves to, okay, and then her band was with her. Or, there's not too many moments where you break out a song in an unnatural way in our show. I don't know if that just was luck or... I mean, we definitely worked on it, but I think the way a lot of she has such a large volume of music, and a lot of the titles helped infer the order of the show. You're like, oh, interesting. What if she's going to sing about this part of her life now?
It's got to be really difficult to kind of weave that in with the story, because you know so much about Mindy because you've researched this. You've co-written the project. So you're trying to kind of figure out where is that happy balance and where should this be and where should that be. You think about just traditional musical theater. I'll throw something out there. Bye Bye Birdie,
I love Bye Bye Birdie.
Me too. Yeah. But, it's madcap and all of a sudden we'll just break out into song. I don't know what's wrong with these kids today. When you're dealing with a story and you're really trying to get the story across, and really a tragic story of Mindy McCready, so it must be so difficult to try to kind of balance that in terms of what traditional musical theater is or what people expect from it.
The expectation thing is an interesting point, because I have had several friends in L.A., come to see, because we did two different productions.
Right.
And they've changed each time. But I had so many people say, I really don't like musicals. I just came to support you, show my friendship.
Yeah.
And I really like this. This is not like a musical. So I think that that speaks volumes.
That's the best thing they could say. And that means that what you've done is working. Now, tell me about the cast. Tell me who's in it. Tell me, how it's been working, putting the whole project together with these people.
Awesome. For this, I'm going to speak to this particular New York one.
Right.
James Mays approached me. He is a producer and also a booking agent with the Triad. And he emailed me one day, did not know him at all. And he said, I've been reading a lot of press about your show. I'm really interested in the story. Would you ever consider doing a run off Broadway? I'm thinking, you bet ya. Are you
sure?
Is this a joke?
Yeah.
My dream come true. So, it started there a few months ago. My cast, going back from the Fringe Festival, I recast the show back in January, February, from the show we did a year ago in 2015 in Silver Lake. A lot of those cast members, all of them except for one, Michael Erzu, who is our musical director now of this show. He's the only OG, the original cast member besides myself in this. So that was Silver Lake, then New York Fringe. We cast that and found great group actors, Rob Harden, Zach Cosby, Craig Unhofer, and then, like I said, Michael Erzu. So the total cast is five of us, me and four boys, all from different backgrounds. Zach and Michael have extensive music backgrounds, so that helps. And then Craig has more of commercial background stuff, and then Rob Harden has some theater and TV background, can play a little guitar. It's like everybody kind of brings something different to the table, which is what I was looking for when I was casting.
Now, the most important question of all is, when they go to the cafe before rehearsal, do they get the turkey bacon as well?
Hey, they are off to fend for themselves.
Oh,
the other day,
okay.
We went at the corner, there's a Grace Papaya, and I was so excited because I hadn't had that in years.
Okay.
Have the reception special or whatever.
Wow, yeah. Really?
We get two hot dogs and a drink for $5. Went there, and the guys were like, it's so cheap, it's so good. It was really cute.
You get anything in New York for less than $5, especially two hot dogs. You're doing pretty well. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. What do you want people to take away from the show? Show's over. They're leaving. What do you want forefront in their mind?
I feel like any time you leave any kind of story, whether it's musical theater or film, play, if you keep questioning and if it keeps staying on your mind, and the next day in the shower, you're like, I don't understand why did they make that choice? Why did that person who it's about, why did those characters make that choice? Why did it go this way? That's interesting. If it kind of sticks to your ribs.
Sure.
I feel like that is a gift. And then also two-part for people to become Mindy fans, you know, because I've had people tell me that they went home immediately and, like, downloaded her music and just, like, really wanted to look up all her songs. So that's exciting to me, too.
That's very exciting, because if you're making them think, you're entertaining them, and you want them to learn more about Mindy, you've served the purpose, and the art is doing what it's supposed to do.
You're right.
Pretty good. Very nice. Well, MacReady is playing at the Triad, which, if I remember, I think it's on West 72nd Street in Manhattan. Am I right about that?
Yeah, 72nd in Amsterdam.
There we go. See, I know my Manhattan. It is running through.
It's super easy to get to.
It is. It's very easy. It's in a really nice part of town, too. It's very easy to get to. I think it's running through, like, what, September 17th? Is that true?
That's right.
All right. So it's running through.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
All right. You can get tickets at triadnyc.com or MacReady-musical.com. Jennifer Blake, best of luck with the show. And thank you once again for being with us here on America Weekend.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalegi, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Fake Green, Harrison with you. The actual sounds planets make as charged electromagnetic particles from solar winds bounce back to Earth, affecting our weather and communications from 2.8 million miles away. We've relied on the Mars Climate Orbiter to give our scientists a greater understanding of how natural forces work on our own planet. The Romans named Mars for their god of war, and human sacrifice was thought the only way to make Mars happy. Now we think Mars was once pummeled by floods and living water, but now we're sure life did exist as we look to rescue Earth through understanding its neighbors.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Follow your passion is bad advice, says William McCaskill, an ethicist at Oxford and Princeton.
Instead, he suggests, do something valuable. Research shows you'll be happier at work if what you do makes a difference in the lives of others.
Further research shows that the bigger the difference you feel you make, the better you'll perform. Better performance, of course, likely leads to better pay.
So where do you start? Stop trying to find yourself. It's too abstract. Stop fighting for money, fame, power, and status. There's too much competition. Instead, find a problem you can solve.
Then people will help you as you make a difference in the lives of others. That's Big Success.
Find Big Success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappyLandAudio.com. That's HappyLandAudio.com.